What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday. Man, this theme music has got me kind of jazzed. I don't know how well you guys can hear this, but, you know, we're talking about the real stuff, right? Real breaking news or something, right? Because that's kind of the news track to our lives as we recognize it, right? We got this breaking news everywhere, all the time, nonstop, just wearing us down, beating us over the head with negativity. And we're letting it get the best of us. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip Blackman, and welcome to Fastest Hour in Radio as we cover Mental Health Monday. Tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the news is harmful. If you haven't figured out by my breaking news audio track going on back here, but you know, I think it can feel really important for a lot of us to want to stay informed on current events when negative incidents are happening, of course. I mean, especially when there's important updates or restrictions that are going to be announced in the areas that we're going to be in. But the way we consume the news, I really think it's also changed significantly over the past decade or two. I mean, thanks to social media, we now have news at our very fingertips all day, every day, and we are addicted. I mean, while it makes current news events accessible from a multitude of formats, whether that be articles or videos or podcasts or infographics, really it doesn't matter because it can make you really truly feel very inescapable of yielding to higher rates of depression and anxiety. The world, the sky is falling, the world is ending tomorrow. Who wouldn't be depressed? So tonight we're going to discuss our need to really take control of our mental health by really controlling what we expose ourselves to, you know, and it might actually be time to take a break from just, I don't know, being so well informed. So, ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, a little housekeeping, we are up and running right now on all of our social media platforms right here on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn at The Philip D. Blackman Show, as well as over on Twitter and Twitch at The PDB Show. And, of course, to all of our affiliates who are covering our broadcast right now from the UK, all over the United States. Guys, thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. And thank you so much for carving out a piece of your Monday for this episode number 291, Mental Health Monday, The News is Harmful. So again, if you want to comment in any way, feel free to do so. We'll put your comments up in the chat. Or you can call or text the show at any time, 409-245-9753. Again, for my listeners across the airwaves, that is 409-245-9753. I see some great familiar faces. We got Laura Harlow, Tammy Blackman. Who else do we got? Casey Starkey, I see you in here. Rob Williams from About Face Radio. He'll be coming on here shortly after me. Guys, we are so thankful to have you on, and let's get our show started. So for my first-time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is our way of taking a moment out and reflecting and responding and remembering that we have service where we have men and women in uniform all across the country who are actively serving as we speak right now, as they're being damned, as they're being criticized, as they're being ostracized around the world, around the nation, and they're called racist and every other negative connotation you can think of. These people still put on the uniform every day. They still die every day. And that's why we have this segment, End of Watch. You know, last year we had 644 officers die on the line of duty, and as of this show, we're out at 181. And we get those numbers from the Officer Down Memorial page. And I encourage you to go check out these videos, go check out the pictures and the testimonies, and get to know the people who put a face to some of the faceless. I think it's kind of what we're getting at. But if you go to the website, you're going to see a quote, and I love it. It's so impactful because the quote says that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer. It is an entire nation. Now, we honor all of our officers who serve, and we highlight the ones who've given their life and service to their community and their country. We highlight a different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. And this week, we're going to be honoring Austin, Texas, Senior Patrol Officer Anthony Martin in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Senior Patrol Officer Anthony Martin, 54, of the Austin, Texas Police Department, who died on September 23, 2022, in a motorcycle crash. Officer Martin served his department honorably and faithfully for 16 years, and he was also a veteran of the United States Air Force. Austin Police Association said in a statement, "We lost one of our own this morning. Officer Anthony Tony Martin served the city of Austin with excellence for over 16 years, and he will be profoundly missed. Our hearts are with his family as they grieve this sudden and tragic loss." Officer Martin is survived by his wife and children. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Officer Martin. Austin, Texas, Senior Patrol Officer Anthony Martin. End of Watch, September 23rd, 2022. Rest in peace, officer.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Dear mainland, aloha. Now, we know you guys love Friday. You even thank the creator for it, TGIF. But why leave out Thursday? Maybe you call Thursday Little Friday. And be thankful for it, too.
Happy Little Friday.
It's Monday, brother.
Happy Teeny Tiny Friday.
One life, right?
Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
All right, friends. So episode 291, Mental Health Monday. The news is harmful is the topic. The number is 409-245-9753. I'm the host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome. Let's get it going. Because here's the thing, ever since the 2016 election, I think if I had to go back far enough, ever since those campaigns originally began, especially when old Donald come down the escalator, man, that was newsworthy. I found myself watching more news than ever before. Yeah, I wanted to see what the latest headlines were. You know, I kind of caused myself to become addicted to it. You know, politics in itself had never been such a spectator sport for the casual observer or passerby. I mean, every week there seems even now to be a new scandal or a new ridiculous tweet or some large scale existential threat. I mean, besides the sheer entertainment value, keeping up with the headlines, it has its benefits. I mean, I've been up to date on current events, and I've learned quite a lot about the government processes, and I've been able to really incorporate recent events into these radio shows like I do here. But how much is too much? You know, when does headline checking become a compulsive disorder for us? You know, when does it start to keep you trapped in this tailspin of negativity? Casey Starkey actually hits it right here. He says, we don't consume news voluntarily. It is force-fed. You know, we all know that negative news is really more popular than positive news because the saying goes, and it always will last, that if it bleeds, it leads. But should we simply just blame the news media outlets for their reporting? I mean, after all, they are in the business of trying to attract our attention. I mean, we may say that we really, truly, we want more positive news. We can say that all day long. And I think in our heart of hearts, we probably, we really want to believe that. But truly, I think if the news was positive, you probably wouldn't watch it. I mean, we secretly love negative content. We think a lot of people don't go to NASCAR and watch 30 cars make a bunch of left turns throughout the day to see who wins this great chess match. No, they go for the accidents. They go for the wrecks. That's why you watch professional wrestling, because you enjoy watching somebody get put through a table. It wouldn't be beneficial if there was no violence involved. We are addicted to negativity, and it's okay to say it. Don't try to bullshit yourself into thinking anything else. You know, we are part of the problem. So, but if that's the case, why do we prefer that negative news so much? I mean, quite simply, the answer, I think it all boils down to all of this stuff, is our own negativity bias. We as a human species, as human beings, we have a tendency and a bias that really keeps us interested in negative stuff. And it's that negative bias, right? It's that psychological effect that causes us to pay more attention to the negative things in our life than the positive things. And it all really is how we were bred. You know, our ancient ancestors, they sought negativity because that meant survival. In a study that I read, it was called Bad is Stronger Than Good. Researchers actually found that bad emotions and bad parents and bad feedback, right? These things have more impact than good news. Bad information's processed more thoroughly than the good. And we all can relate. I mean, compare to how you react to criticism versus a compliment. If the criticism is mild, we dwell on it a lot. Like, what do you mean I have a bad show? Right? We dwell on it a lot. But if someone compliments you, hey man, you do a great job, you put out a good program, we readily brush that good stuff off to the side. We are not equipped. We're not equipping ourselves with positivity. You know, being more interested in negative things, it serves to really keep us alive in these harsh conditions. Again, going back to the most of our human history, paying attention to that negative stuff, that is what served to protect us from any threat that may have been out in the environment. Because we understood then that if you miss the threat, then you might be killed. Missing anything positive in this life doesn't generally come with such that same risk. Would you agree? I mean, negative news, that's why negative news hijacks this natural inclination towards threat detection. The new existential threat. But on some unconscious level, we're tempting to gain some kind of control over the environment when really it feels that times are very uncertain. It's a compulsion that we find that we try to gain further control by reading. You know, it doesn't give us the desired sense of control. Rather, it reinforces us to say our perception that there is a lurking danger around every corner, and it ramps up that desire, right, to remain on high alert. We're addicted to our own chaos. I mean, confirmation bias, that is what we look for when we watch our news. These things that keep us locked into that negative cycle. It's that tendency to seek out any information that really confirms your pre-existing beliefs. The country is going down the shitter, so I'm only going to go try to find articles that support that, as opposed to typically trying to find an article that refutes it, maybe a sense of goodness or a sense of decency. Those things aren't what sell. Those things aren't what stays in our crawl. You don't think about that great news story that you read yesterday because you're too busy being focused on the current bad one you got today. I mean, rather than challenging our beliefs about the world, we gravitate toward reports that confirm our specific fears. MAGA Republicans are the new threat. I mean, in our digital era, this is so easy to do for all of us. We can subscribe to the niche news sources that really are most aligned to our beliefs. We can hide, you know, certain Facebook news feeds that really reports, you know, those things that come from a different political ideology than ours. And on top of all of this, we're being fed an algorithmically curated stream of suggested content. All of it is suited to fit our pre-existing interests. I have an app on my phone called Newsbreak. And Newsbreak, I'm just playing a game of mess arounds. I started following and reading every CNN news story. Now that's all I get. And so I went back and, hey, I want to follow all the Fox news stories. And then that's all I got. It's all algorithm driven because they're looking for clicks. They're looking for scrolls. And what a better guinea pig than YOU. You know, we'd rather much prefer stay locked in that news report that confirms that our sense of reality says the world is on fire and we're having a bad day. You know, we'd rather have certainty about the existence of a fear, really, than an uncertainty about a positive worldview. Isn't that weird? You know, bad things, they are more certain than good things. That's our belief. And as the saying goes, the only certain things are death and taxes. Why do we talk about those two negative things? Why not love? Why not happiness? Because those things are pretty certain if you make room for it. You know, we expect bad things to happen. The consequences, they can become permanent if you pay attention. I don't know how long, you know, most of you listeners or watchers have watched my show. Out of 291 episodes, I've taken times where I have actually stopped. I've shut out posts, be like, hey, I'm taking a break, man. I got to take a knee. I got to take a halt from this stuff. This is getting to my mental health. It's beating me down. There were times where I actually forced myself to take a break because it was becoming permanent. My worldview was jaded. I was starting to hate everything in my life. It took over me. It affected me to my very core. And what I'm recommending is you actually maybe consider, maybe if everything that you're looking at is negative, maybe if everything you're looking at is hopeless, maybe it's time to quit looking at those same things. Tammy writes in the chat, she said it's called Newsbreak because it will break your phone with all this so-called, air quotes, news. I had to get rid of it. And she was, because it was affecting that mental health. Like, Jesus, does the news ever stop? Absolutely not. You know, we're not really optimistic about the positive things in our life because we expect them to be fleeting and rare. You know, so if it's uncertainty that we're after, the negative news that's out there, it delivers more than we can possibly want to digest because it's not pleasant. But it's the fear of uncertainty that's even worse for people. You know, following every negative news detail, it gives the illusion of some kind of control by giving us the illusion that we have a certainty. We know what's going on. You know, the problem is that if we give up real control over our mental state, When we subscribe to this notion that we're in control of what the news is going on in the world, we give up the real control. You know, we have a false sense of certainty, and it comes with a very steep cost. You know, that negative news, it's a symptom of an unhealthy social environment. We recognize it for what it is. You know, we're quick to place blame on the media for giving us violence and negativity, but perhaps we need to take a closer look at really what's driving the demand for this kind of news. And we need to really take a closer look at ourselves and the state of our fragmented society. Quit blaming it on the news. That is a red herring. It's easy to say it's all the news' fault. I have been guilty of it on this show a lot. You know, the political divisions and the dissolved communal bonds, they've heightened our sense of uncertainty. If you're not on this side, then you're bad. You know, what was once a sense of national and communal unity in our society, it's become a battleground for identity. If you don't identify as this, that, or the other, then you are wrong. You know, in the battle of certainty, you know, we cling to these ideological worldviews and we create scapegoats of our enemies. And we fuel the flames of fragmentation with negative news. I mean, beyond the realm of social health, we need to really take care of our mental health. That's why we're talking about this show tonight. I mean, if you find yourself seeking out the negative news, you're not alone. I promise you, because I do this, I'm very guilty of it. Our minds, they naturally seek out that negative stimuli, and because we believe it alerts us to potential threats that may be out there. Oftentimes, these threats are only existent in the articles that are there. But just because it's written about a lot in words don't necessarily mean it's really happening a lot. If you find yourself always being keyed up and depressed every time you read the news, if it becomes a problem, or I should say it really becomes a problem when this behavior, when it interferes with your ability to function as a human, as an adult, as someone who can look at someone who is different than you and say, hey, right on, you be you, I'll be me. Instead of just passing judgment based off what someone tells you, you should see. I mean, if you suffer from any type of compulsive news by where you got to check that news feed every time, repetitive negative thoughts and the high level of anxiety, then maybe it's going to be helpful to seek out a psychiatrist or a psychologist, because you may have the beginning stage of an OCD, because you'd rather, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, you have become an addict to the chaos porn of the drive-by media. And we're going to cover that in this segment, The Breakdown. You know, I'm a huge fan, when you do podcasts and you do radio shows, if you really take your craft seriously, man, you start going out there and you start trying to find other artists who do it better than you. And, you know, you see what works and you try to find your own stride. Well, in my search of trying to find great podcasts, there's a man out there named Ryan Holiday. He also does a weekly or a daily blog, called the Daily Stoic, and I'm a huge fan because he has a very matter of fact approach to society issues. And what turned me, toward his writings and his podcast was he wrote a book that's called Trust Me, I'm Lying. And it's a funny ass title because that's what we're seeing today in our political discord, you know. He's a great motivator for not watching the news. He tells you, do not watch the news. It's the worst thing you can do. And he wrote in his blog that it's time to stop watching the news this year. You know, I mean, really, I think if we're to define the word philosophy, you know, both of its academic and clinical sense, you know, that is the actual philosophy, and even the more casual she responded philosophically. We may say that it really, truly philosophy means to both get to the fundamental truth of things as well as to view things calmly and with a perspective. And it's with that definition that, you know, we could truly say that what the opposite of philosophy and philosophical is when we really look at it, knowing the definition, I can tell you what it, you may not be able to tell me what it is, but I can tell you what it's not. It's that device that's in your pocket or it's in your hands right now. The ones whose home screens look something like this, you know, or maybe they look something like this, you know, your wallpaper for your smartphone, or maybe you have a nice little device on your wrist where you get breaking news all the time with little vibrations to tell you about, hey, the weather dropped 2 degrees. You should pay attention. You know, the constant interruptions that we experience in this life, you know, these distractions of our society, they are, to me, the opposite of philosophy. You know, you get caught up in that minute. You get caught up in the things that truly just don't matter in your life right now. You get caught up in things that are designed to exploit and antagonize us and our emotions, and we're addicted. You know, I'm not just referring to the apps and the games and of course, phone calls. No. I'm talking about that news cycle. Here's an example. So you take Donald Trump's, his media diet, as has been reported by lots of news organizations, even while he was in office, and in which, as I understand it, it actually predates his presidency. This was his day. Every morning, Donald Trump would get up. He'd get up very early and he would watch Fox and Friends, and he would call it the most honest morning news show. Okay. So then after he gets through with his Fox and Friends, he would read multiple newspapers a day. He'd have his online news printed out and brought to him, and then he would read those as well. And in the evening, he'd watch all the shows like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, which are basically opinions about things that happened earlier in the day. And then he chimes in with his own opinion on Twitter while he does it. Now, on the weekend, he reportedly would watch Saturday Night Live to try to catch as many parodies about his likeness as he could. Now, I don't think it's a partisan point to say that this idea, this news diet that Donald Trump was feeding himself, is absolutely awful. I mean, I would venture to guess that it's probably not far from the diets that probably a lot of you who are watching or listening to this podcast right now. I mean, maybe you'd sub in more time on Facebook or you'd watch Rachel Maddow instead of Sean Hannity. Maybe you don't print out your articles, but you save your articles in Pocket or Instagram or read later bookmarks and you read them while you're on the John or you're on a subway or on your commute somewhere. And maybe you also consume a steady diet of ESPN or maybe sports CBS Sports, you know, for your fantasy team, because that's important too. I mean, maybe you follow the movie business or the stock market. You know, the amount of information that we consume on a daily basis, it is embarrassing. I know it is for me. You know, I remember after the 2016 election, you know, and I've read more news that year than any other year in my life. But like nearly everyone in America, I was convinced, though I was not exactly excited, Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. I read all the opinion pieces that said that she was going to win and why she was going to win and why the election was just an anomaly. And then the actual election return sent both men and women on the left into labor. Now, that's an extreme example. I get it, obviously. But I sympathize with the fact that the election, it was a traumatic event for a lot of people in 2016, even more so in 2020. So here's something a little more common. I live in Texas, so I found myself glued to the coverage of Hurricane Harvey. This is a real thing. It was coming to my area, and I need to know just how bad of a hurricane that it could get for the area that was going to be our future home. And there was a lot on the line for us. You know, my house construction could have been stopped for really an unspecified period of time, and it was. And we found out, you know, while all the time we had no place to live, that there would be a lot of people that who are going to be directly impacted while working on fundraising projects, you know, and how do you push for construction to be finished when so many people have just lost their entire lives, their homes? I mean, thankfully it wasn't too bad, you know, but then again, memory has a very unique ability to catastrophize or to romanticize itself. So really, who's to say how truly bad it was at the time? But if you remember Harvey, you know, it was followed almost immediately by another hurricane, Irma. You know, it came up the coast of Florida just 10 days after Harvey left Houston. And I found myself watching the coverage of Irma too. And it was just as riveting and it was just as dire. But here's the thing. I don't live in Florida. I live in Texas. You know, what happened to those people in Florida or Puerto Rico, you know, it was important, but that really didn't explain why I was watching it with the same seriousness that I had consumed on the coverage days before about Harvey. You know, this is right here. This is what I'm telling you. This is so brilliant about what the news producers can do. Tune in. We have a breaking news alert. Follow this and see what's going on. Look at these compelling pictures, yada, 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 right? You know, although we've had newspapers for as long as the modern state has existed, previous generations, they didn't have that problem. You know, leaders didn't have that problem. Citizens did not have the problems that we have today. You might have taken a few months for news to make it from one coast to the other coast across or even across the Atlantic. But leaders of past eras, they were able to more naturally take this longer worldview. Citizens were able to do the same. Even in the run-ups to World War II, arguably the most important and deadly event of the 20th century, it developed in just over 6 years. Meanwhile, you know, following news like the world is spontaneously combusted as of right now. I mean, if you want to see how much the internet has changed, right here, this is an ad that was posted in the Washington Post from March of 2013. This is what an ad looked like on the internet in 2013. You know, I don't know how many of you out there may blog for a living, but I'd argue that it's very hard to come up with 12 articles in a day. Hell, it's hard enough to come up with one. You know, but I'm going to argue that after about 5 or 6 articles you start putting out, you just start having to make stuff up. So you wonder why the news is the way that it is. It's this right here. This is largely because of it right here. There used to be a finite amount of space, even in a 24/7 news cycle. We had reruns, we had commercial breaks, and truly to me, nothing really captures our news, our social media ecosystem like this photo right here. This is a trash can laying on its side with trash inside on fire. And I'll bet you there's no less than 20 photographers taking pictures of what's going on. You know, for an internet publisher, they have infinite space. They have an unlimited amount of things that they can publish. So as you would be expect to really have a lot more news coverage than we ever had like this before. It's exhausting. It manipulates us and it works us up into these fits. You know, we got to give true credit to Nick Denton. He's the founder of Gawker. And 5 years before the term fake news accurately detailed the extent of which that most news is fake. In this article, Nick Denton, he actually wrote this. He says, quote, fake news. And I don't mean the fake news in the Fox News sense. I mean fake news that clogs up most newspapers and most websites for that matter. The new initiative will go nowhere. The new policy isn't new at all. This product isn't revolutionary, and journalists pretend that these official statements and company press releases actually constitutes news. Fake news, manufactured, hyped, rehashed, retracted, until the end of the week, you know no more than at the beginning. You really might as well wait for the weekly, like The Economist, to tell you what the next position at the end of the week will be, end quote. I think he got it pegged because a lot of this breaking news, I mean, I get these news breaks on my phone all the time and, you know, news break and you know, they play the breaking news music that kicks off and you pick it up. Like, what in the world has just happened? It's so bad right now. It's breaking news. And you read somebody threw a fit because they didn't get cheese on their burrito or some dumb shit like that of some celebrity showing their butt. That's breaking news. You know, I got to tell you, man, what I just read to you, it's, you know, most of the things that you read, they're not going to go anywhere. It's not revolutionary. It's not new. It's not important. You know, what you're seeing come across your headlines is this is happening now. These are press releases. They're government statements. They're manufactured hype. It's speculation. It's opinion pieces about anything. Why? Because reporters are trying to write 12 posts a day. Reporters are trying to beat the other outlets by 5 whole seconds so they can get all the traffic for the scoop that's going to be rendered irrelevant by the next scoop that happens 5 minutes from now. I mean, it's true for platforms too. As a former data scientist at Facebook, he explained that a fundamental purpose for most people in Facebook working on data is to influence and alter people's moods and behavior. He said they're doing it all at the time to make you think or make you like stories more, click on more ads, and spend more time on the site. That is why Facebook is like a casino, ladies and gentlemen. You never really notice there are no clocks in any casino. Why? Because they don't want you to know how long you've been there or what time it is right now. Facebook is pretty much the same way. It's designed to keep you there for as long as possible by clicking on as many things as possible, uploading and even sharing and intertwining your life into the social networks because you can't live without it. So on the one hand, a large part of you, of why you're so obsessed with the news, despite our understanding of how misleading it often is. But the same goes for every other publisher or other platform. Television doesn't want you to get up and take any breaks. That's why they make you sit through these commercial breaks. They give you these entertaining-ass commercials. They're trying to hold your attention. A news outlet doesn't want you to be so outraged by an article that you find something that you must decide to change the world, that you got to be so outraged that you sign a change.org petition and then you consider, hey, job well done. But I would say that there's probably another part in there somewhere. Yeah, I'd say that one of the other reasons for our news addiction, I think it really boils down to our ego. I mean, Facebook and news publications, they understand how much of our identity is tied up in this consumption. That's what they manipulate. You know, it's this need to be seen as well-informed amongst your peers. You know, we have this great word now, and this word is called virtue signaling. Now, if you don't know what virtue signaling is, I put a graphic up. You got three people on my screen. The one on the left says, whose outrage is it anyway? The one in the middle says, my outrage is better than your outrage. And of course, the person on the right says, my outrage is strongest. That is called virtue signaling, knowing everything that's going on in the world, having an opinion on these news stories. You got to have them. We got to have the right opinion on these news stories, and we got to believe that says something about who we are in our lives. You know, we want to be in the club of the ultra elite, right? We want to be smart. We want to be informed. We want to be intelligent. We want to be compassionate. We want to be interesting people. We don't want to be on the side of the ignorant people or the people who've just completely said to hell with it and tuned out. We are what these publishers exploit. Now, they know that some people on the right, they want to hear this, and they know that some people on the left, they want to hear that. So that's exactly what they cater to. That's exactly the content they create. Tammy hits it dead on balls accurate. She says that outraged negativity whores. Absolutely, because, I mean, that is exactly what they're doing. They're selling themselves out. They're selling their privacy. They're selling they're giving permission for people to view their phone calls and their data and everything else, all because they want to subscribe to, because they want to be the latest in the know. Laura Harlow says, the quickest way to turn me off and I tune out, kiss my butt with that. Well, hey, but it is what happens, right? They know that some people on the right, they want to hear certain messages, and then people on the left, they want to hear certain messages, and that's who they cater to. That's exactly the content they create. But this is not philosophy, as I opened up this segment. Epictetus, he said it best. He said that if you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid with regard to external things. I'm going to say that again because that's how powerful it is. He says that if you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid with regard to external things. In other words, he said, stop watching the news. Turn it off. Turn off all the alerts on your phone. Turn off the alerts for your text, for your social media. Remove the news sites from your phones as well. Delete Facebook, delete Instagram, Twitter, delete all of them. I mean, you can still consume information, of course, but I want you to see what happens when you don't carry it around in your pocket and you allow it to interrupt you in the middle of everything you do. I mean, it's no wonder that we don't have time for philosophy or thinking about real big issues when we're pinged on every CNN breaking news on our wrists in real time. If we cannot remove ourselves, if we cannot create some distance between those breaking news alerts and our reflective, our contemplative time, we're going to be able to think about the bigger and more important things. It's never going to happen. You know, all the information that you consume, you need to ask yourself about its half-life. And I found it fascinating to learn that most people, you know, they book in the state and the defense departments right now. The number one book that they're reading right now is Thucydides, The History of the Peloponnesian War. That's the book that most of these leaders are reading right now. I mean, what it does, I mean, what does it say? You know, when we have people who have access to the best intel on the planet, spies, dossiers, diplomats, satellite imagery, these folks are reading a book published about a war between Athens and Sparta some 2,500 years ago. Well, if you're as a war-minded person, it makes sense. You know, the wisdom in that book, it stood the test of time. It goes to the essence of human nature and the conflicts between great powers. We're seeing this happen now. And the news is designed by definition not to last. It's that ticker tape of what sociologist Robert Kelly once called the specious present. So you'll read something else tomorrow and you'll read another news story the following day. Since you don't really pay for it, you know, they have to create a lot of information for volume and really what they lack in margin. So ask yourself, is this thing that I'm consuming likely to be relevant tomorrow? Is it likely to still be important a day from now? Or maybe 5 days? Or a week? Or a year? Or 5 years? What is this stuff important? You know, I urge you to take in that big picture. You know, one of the poet Lucian's dialogues that he takes flight and he flies above the earth, that he's able to see petty squabbles of the day in perspective. He said that even armies fighting each other, they look like small ants fighting over a tiny molehill. I mean, that's the view that we want to take on these things. In fact, it's a pretty common device in ancient philosophy from Plato to Marcus Aurelius. That's the view that we want to take on the things that give us perspective, to show us what truly matters in our life. Whereas if we're really doomed, you know, or if we're even more zoomed in on any of these things, and we need to focus on the things that really matter to our identity, who we are. Because if we focus on all these other things, all these little squabbles that are going around, we start to lose who we are at the end of the day. You know, and I had this up here and it just hit me why. Speaking of a big picture, I'm going to encourage you right now. Take a look. Take a second look to look at this photograph. Chances are this is a photograph of Earth. Chances are you've seen this famous blue marble photo at some time in your life. You know, chances are you've probably seen it about 100 times and you never really knew the story behind what it is you're looking at. This photo right here was taken in 1972 by the astronauts of the Apollo 17 mission. It was taken about 18,000 miles from Earth. It's actually the very first photo of our Earth that we have in its total form, in its totality. And it's amazing to think that for all of human history, up until that moment, 1972, we had never been able to actually see what our Earth looked like. The highest viewpoint that you could ever get before this was on top of a mountaintop. And it's only in the modern era that we have this gift of perspective. And yet, all we focus on is the tiny minutiae of what happens to have the news made to us in that very minute. The reason why I ask you to look at this photograph is that the few astronauts, the couple of hundred people out there out of the billions who've ever lived, these astronauts that have had the privilege of actually seeing the world from this perspective right here, in person, they talk about this thing called the overview effect. You know, they say that it's when you're in space and you're looking down on Earth that you really feel this wave of tranquility and this peace and the perspective that you could never have on Earth. You know, one of the astronauts who talks about this, he says that when you see this, you're struck immediately with a sense of global consciousness, a compassion for other people, and it makes you just want to grab a politician by the scruff of the neck and drag him, a quarter million miles out into space and say, "Look at this, you son of a bitch. Your problems are not my problems." You know, when you look at all those, when you look at the Earth, you know, I want to look at it again. When you look at it from all these thousands of miles away, I mean, you can really truly feel that larger feeling, that oceanic feeling, that connectedness. You know, the stressors and the distractions that we carry in our pockets, that we carry, you know, everywhere we go in our phones, or we wear them on our wrist, or we sit on a computer when we sit down to work, they really truly don't seem so significant, that the conflicts that we don't really seem so insurmountable and the right thing really doesn't seem so far away. This egotistical desire to know exactly what's going on, to understand every fight and the causes of every single problem, it all falls away. Walker Percy, one of my favorite novelists, you know, he has a remarkable passage that I want to close this segment with. He says that, "Can a man stand alone naked at his ease, wrist flexed at his side like Michelangelo's David, without assistance, without diversion, in silence? Yes, it's possible to stand. Nothing happened. I listened. There was no sound. No boats of the river, no trucks on the road, not even a cicada." What if I didn't listen to the news? I didn't. Nothing happened, and I realized that I'd been afraid of the silence. You know, all this noise, all this news, we're afraid of the silence. We're afraid of looking stupid. We're willing to drive ourselves absolutely insane, miserable, to avoid that fear. What would happen if we just stopped? We could live. We could get real clarity. And with it, maybe we could be a little bit of the change that we want to see in this world. And that's The Breakdown.
This election, your choice couldn't be more important. Our candidate is in flattering lighting and full bright color. Their candidate is in grainy high contrast black and white, spotted through a telephoto lens from behind a bush, coming back from God only knows where. Our guy points at the horizon and holds a baby. Their guy doesn't have a baby. Their guy has a golf club. The voiceover for our guy is calm, measured, bright. Their guy gets the lower register. And sometimes we slow down. Our guy has clean headlines and the beautiful lens flare America needs. Here's a scary graph over a photo of their guy awkwardly laughing. Snap zoom. Do you want a snap zoom like that in office? Here's a photo of our guy saluting military veterans. Jump cuts, flashes, static, aggressive colors. You can't trust a guy with graphics like this. Our guy gets stock footage of sunrises and an American flag. Their guy's flag is upside down and on fire. Intercut with overdue bills, war, and a crying baby. Our guy gets doctors and astronauts and stimulus checks. Flatline, an eagle, hurricane, the Statue of Liberty. Crime scene tape, Ronald Reagan. A girl running in a wheat field to escape a dangerous sexual predator. Wielding atomic bomb. This election, the choice is yours. Their guy or our guy. Inspiring slogan.
And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is what proves my point. The news is out to shift you. It's out to get you. It's out to make you very, very damn paranoid and pretty hopeless. So looking at our chats going back, Richard LaMonaco, good to see you, my man. He says, my day job depends on open source reporting. I do not look at any American news channels, so I get the ground truth. Sad state, but our best way to go. Casey Starkey says, hell yes, fishing and hunting reports are important. Well, hey, if that's all you're getting, then right on. I hope that's all you're getting for your own mental health sake. Laura Harlow says that I like to look at BBC sometimes, Sky News. She says, I do look at some of the opinion shows on Fox Newsmax every now and then. She says, others, I listen to independent internet radio stuff like the Philip D. Blackman Show. Tammy Blackman says that you just gave me goosebumps, Blackman perspective. That is what we're trying to do. I'm glad it worked. Casey Starkey says, sit in a deer stand as the world comes alive. There is no other perspective than that. You know, do current events bring you down? I mean, because it seems like to me, they sure as hell do bring me down. You know, these smartphones and the tablets at our, you know, the just 24-hour news cycle, just nonstop. It's impossible to ignore the negative things that are happening. I understand. I mean, and truly, unless you choose to live like a hermit, it is impossible to avoid the news, period. Now, I understand what Rich is saying, that, you know, try to avoid that, you know, that day job forces you to look outside, and you're absolutely right, because I don't stick to any mainstream news myself. But the thing is, we're still looking at news. You know, the simple act of going to your job, it exposes you to the latest news. Same for me. I mean, due to the nature of what I do, my phone is subscribed to every single breaking news out there, every breaking news headline. That's not really a breaking news, but it's a hole filler, right? I mean, headline news, it pops up on my computer against my will while trying to prepare for a show that really has nothing to do with the news. I use Bing as my default search engine. And without intending to, I've actually saw a pretty disturbing piece that put me in a funk when I should have been focusing on my show. Or I find myself going down the rabbit hole, chasing one headline or one memory after the next. It's like going on YouTube and only having the intention of watching one snakebite video. It never works because you want to see if the next snakebite video is just as bad as what you just watched. I mean, some of you may remember the days, maybe I'm dating myself here, these kids nowadays, they don't get it, when there was a daily newspaper. There was a half hour of nightly newscast and one late night news recap right before the wheel and right after the wheel, right? That was it. Now we can update our social media feeds every few minutes to really see the latest and the worst that's happening in our world. News is big business. Corporate news organizations, they're motivated to sensationalize current events, even though they're very trivial. You know, there's a lot of competition to keep our attention. They know that negative stories is what sells, the clickbait headlines.
You'll never guess what they found at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago mansion.
And then you open he had some empty classified folders. What? This is breaking news? Now, that is an example. I'm not even getting in that Donald Trump Mar-a-Lago thing, but you get my point. But, you know, the thing is, research actually suggested that the negativity in our news stories, it does a lot of things that would benefit the news outlets. You know, first, you know, the presence of a negative news video, it increases that viewer's ability to pay attention. The more information in the story, right? The video clips, they sell. You know, watching a negative story, it's going to capture your attention a whole lot more quickly than a positive one. When is the last time that you saw a single positive news story? I challenge anyone listening to this show, write the PDB show. Those are my initials, Philip D. Blackman. The PDB show at gmail.com. I want you to send me the last positive news article that you watched. I'm going to go ahead and venture to say that it's going to be a long time before I get my very first piece of email, because the positive news cycle doesn't exist anymore. You know, these negative videos, they increase your ability to remember that traumatic story, that tragic event. You know, it's that negative focus of a news story that's going to make it a lot easier for you to recognize information related to that particular story, and you're going to be less likely to recognize information received prior to watching any other story. I mean, given what I'm telling you, it's not surprising that negative news stories increase the negative emotional impact on who we are as persons when we're compared to a neutral or a positive story. You know, if a negative news is distressing, then why do so many of us continue to expose ourselves? If you find yourself getting troubled by the news articles out there, if you find yourself getting jaded to the panic porn that exists in your news feeds, 409-245-9753, or continue to write in our chat and we'll do what we can to get your comments on the show. But the tendency to focus on the negative. Remember, I told you that negativity bias, we're wired to notice these events as a means to avoid a negative threat. You know, conventional wisdom would tell us that a lot of negativity, it's going to increase some anxiety and the negativity, it affects our mood. But what is the research? We follow the science here. So what does the science say? Well, in 2017, the American Psychological Association, they surveyed a group of Americans, and they found that over 50% of the Americans that they did their survey on reported that the news stressed them out. Well, color me surprised. But the respondents, what was interesting is they identified these feelings of anxiety and fatigue and interrupted sleep as effects related to the exposure of their news. They're actually triggered. You know, research at the University of Sussex, they looked at the effects of viewing negative news items, and they created three different news bulletins for their audience. So one of them was full of nothing but negative information, like the news we see today. The second was emotionally neutral, right? Nothing real good, nothing real bad, here it is. And the third consisted exclusively of positive, heartwarming news items that we have been saying for years we crave, but yet we don't seek. Well, the results actually showed that those people who watched the negative news bulletins, they reported feeling significantly sadder and more anxious than those people who were exposed to the neutral or positive. Again, color me surprised. But this is science. This is research. In addition to experiencing increased anxiety and more sadness, these participants, they also watched the negative news bulletin. I'll get it out in a minute. They seemed to personalize the negativity. They made it about them. They incorporated it into their personal worries that they already had. The news wants you to carry it. I mean, subjects, they were asked to identify their biggest worry at the time, and after watching a negative bulletin, it tended to catastrophize their lives, you know, their personal concerns. You know, when you take that concern, when you mentally exaggerate the risk And then you start hashing it over and over and over. You're making a catastrophe out of everything. And it creates that circular effect. It only increases your anxiety. So only do really people feel generally worse after viewing the negative news items. Their own personal worries were magnified as well. So here's the lesson. If you're preoccupied with something in your life, taking in negative news, it's likely to make you worry more about your current situation. Knock it off. Another story by Mary McNaughton Cassell at the University of Texas, San Antonio. She looked at the relationship between the news, medical and psychological distress. Now, she and her team, they analyzed the relationship between exposure to the news and the various factors, including the outsides, the stress levels, the anxiety, the depression, the irrational beliefs, optimism, pessimism, half empty, half full. Well, so what they found was that a couple of the factors influence whether the news media is likely to cause that psychological distress on any given person. So those people who had irrational beliefs were more likely to experience news-induced anxiety. If you're still out there saying that Donald Trump is going to take over office any day now, I'm talking to you. You know, not surprisingly, you know, those who reported lower levels of optimism, they were more likely to experience anxiety associated with the news. So, in other words, you know, a pessimistic attitude is what's going to make you more likely to feel anxious after watching your news. You know, while anxiety was influenced by the exposure, the study actually showed zero relationship between the news exposure and depression. That means this is something you're doing. The lesson here, if you're a pessimist by nature, always expecting the worst to happen, then you're more likely to experience distress from the news than those who have a more positive view on the world. Knock it off. You know, for traumatic news in 2015, researchers in Tel Aviv, they surveyed Israeli citizens who'd been exposed to newscast during the 2014 Israeli-Gaza conflict. So what they found was those people who had been exposed to the traumatic material by the news media, surprise, surprise, they reported an increase in anxiety and depression. These symptoms were including sleep difficulties, fearful thoughts, hyperarousal, or hypersensitivity. What that means is when you have a psychological state of always being on high alert, you know, it's the body and the mind's way of being ready for a threat. So even when there's no immediate threat that exists. So I wonder if these are the people right here that we're watching on our news, these hyperarousal, the classic symptoms that we're talking about, hyperarousal is like the classic symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. Is it possible this country is suffering? What we're experiencing right now is just PTSD from a Donald Trump presidency. I'm speaking out of the side of my neck here. We know the answer, but the Israeli research team, they concluded that exposure to negative perceptions of the broadcast, it puts people at a risk for increased anxiety. But you know, I said it in jest, but is it possible? What we're seeing is the PTSD effect from 2016. I think the idea is that watching newscasts that are particularly traumatic for you, it can cause you to develop symptoms very similar to PTSD. It happens. But when you're recovering from a news-related anxiety, you know, I read another study with college students who were subjected to, they were divided into two different groups. Now, all the participants in this study, they watched the news for about 15 minutes of any random newscast. Now, one group was actually participated in a post-watch relaxing exercise, right, where they go in and they unwind, they do their mindfulness exercises, they do some yoga, whatever the case is, they meditate, they find a way to unwind from that 15 minutes they just brought in. But the other group, they did their test, or they did their news station, then they went right to class or right to work or whatever the case was. Now, both groups reported that they had an increased distress and anxiety after watching the newscast, but the 15 minutes after the cast had ended, only the group that participated in those woo-saw exercises returned to their pre-newscast levels of anxiety. The lesson, these results are suggesting that activities like yoga, mindfulness, these are things that can help protect us from the negative effects of the news media. And research supports what we naturally conclude, that negative news, that's what's detrimental to your mental well-being. And given that fact, it's smart to avoid these news stories that you know are going to be traumatic to you. Be a wise consumer about what information you expose yourself to. Now, look, we can't escape news stories. I understand. We can't escape negativity, but we can control the frequency in which we have contact with these media outlets. You know, we can avoid overly sensational news by, you know, these reportings, you know, by preferring news that's presented in a more matter-of-fact manner. We can also maybe even limit our overall exposure to the news by putting down our phones, maybe turning off our TV. You know, Laura Harlow says, just sent you one. Oh, wow. So you got me a positive news story that you just recently read. She says, I have to find good things to set off the pain. Well, right on for you. Now, is this a website that normally produces good comments or good articles? Or did you have to physically go find one? Was it intentional or did it just you stumble upon it? So, guys, I want to take a quick break and I want to kind of sum this show up with a bit of lunacy that we've been seeing in our current social media feeds. Everybody's talking about, but nobody's really pointed it out. Well, I'm going to point it out for you tonight. Guys, stick around. We're going to be right back with you after, we'll call it 60 seconds.
Ugh, I hate these big-ass prices.
Sounds like you could use some big-ass savings.
I'd love some big-ass savings.
Kmart Shop Your Way members save 30 cents a gallon.
30 cents a gallon? That's a big-ass discount.
Big-ass discount.
A really big-ass discount.
Really big-ass discount.
Honey, this solves your big-ass problem.
Totally solves my big-ass problem.
Yeah, look at that big-ass truck.
Big-ass man.
Hello, big-ass man.
Shop Your Way members get big-ass savings. Save 30 cents a gallon when you spend $50 or more at Kmart.
Huh. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Everybody knows that.
Well, did you know that game show hosts should only host game shows?
Samantha, do you take Kevin as your lawfully wedded husband?
Or would you rather have a new car?
Say hello to the season's hottest convertible. Oh, and say goodbye to Samantha.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
You know, I don't know how it goes around your house at all, but here at the Blackman House, we typically spend most of our time shooting the breeze about this, that, and everything else that comes to mind as we really sit on the back porch of our property and we watch the critters crawling around throughout the woods around our house. That's kind of our day. We're really exciting people. But, you know, some of the best, and I would probably argue, and Tammy can, you know, she's in the show. She can chime in if she wants. But I think that some of the best and probably some of the worst conversations that I can recall on our back porch or really wherever we find ourselves throughout the years, that's where they happen. Our best and worst conversations was on that backyard. And, you know, what brought this show to pass was really thinking back to some of our conversations that, I don't know, that really jumps us, you know, starting from a news headline. You know, we see a headline and we're like, wait a minute. And we'll just stop talking to each other. Wait a minute. And we'll start looking. Do you believe this? And then here we go, man. That's really all that starts. You know, me and Tammy, we've lost entire mornings discussing the perpetual news cycle of any given day. I don't think we're the only ones who's ever done this. Yeah, and I think that really says something about who we are. Not only as couples, but as members of our society. You know, we pay attention to the world around us and although we are aware of what's going on, you know, it has a tendency to make us feel just a bit helpless and just a bit jaded, maybe giving us a distorted view of life through the prism of whatever the media has put before our eyes. You know, Tammy says that our back porch is our own round table talk, except you'll find no racism at our table, though. You know, it's the reality, really, of what we're looking at. You know, it's been created by what we're told is our most trusted news sources. All right, well, that's the case. Then I want you to consider this, because I've been wanting to cover this for a couple weeks now. Do you remember when Disney, they announced Halle Bailey, not Halle Berry, but Halle Bailey, as a black actress who's going to play a fictional mermaid princess in a live-action remake? What the fuck is the name of the movie? Little Mermaid. Brain fart. Yeah. So allegedly, Disney announced that this young black actress, who by the way has an amazing voice, Halle Bailey is her name, to play a fictional mermaid princess in a live action remake. Allegedly, that announcement has somewhere infuriated some racist because Ariel is a red-haired, white-skinned in the cartoon version. Apparently, there's a group of racists out there all over the United States who is upset that Disney has brought in a black actress to play a cartoon mermaid. Fictional, not real. Okay. I saw this and I was like, wait a minute, people are really mad about this? Are you kidding me? You know, I hadn't seen any of the outrage on my social media feed, so I was blindsided. And nor have I really seen any of this so-called outrage by anyone except those people who's talking about it. But, you know, it's true. A few Twitter listeners, or a few Twitter users, I should say, they seemed genuinely upset by the casting. What was their critiques? A lot of their critiques was, well, hey, if you're going to do a live-action remake of a cartoon, you know, then let's make it look like the cartoon. I have a hard time finding the racism button, but most of the overwhelming majority, you know, you heard all in the drive-by media about hashtag not my Ariel, it was trending worldwide on Twitter. Hashtag not my Ariel. I mistakenly put in not my Areola and I didn't see anything, but I found not my Ariel and there it was. I saw it. And so when I went to this trend and I started looking at the tweets, most of them that I found were in support of Bailey, and they were expressing outrage at how anyone could be so offended by having a black Ariel. Hashtag not my Ariel. That people who went to that trending hashtag were in defense because no one could find where the outrage either. You know, and their fury is well intended, but it was largely unnecessary. But nevertheless, the Washington Post, they ran not one, but two articles on Tuesday bemoaning this uproar over black Ariel. And the articles actually appeared on other news sites as well. But the only evidence of the said uproar, it's a handful of tweets, which, again, are more than canceled out by all of the other tweets combined. So this outrage about having a young black actress play a cartoon mermaid, it's not real. And neither is most of the news that you're seeing from these trusted news sources, regardless of what platform they're sharing. For your own mental health, ladies and gentlemen, for your own mental well-being, understand the world, it's not gotten darker over the years. It's just your exposure has made the world look a little darker. Man, don't give up because you're in control. Don't give up hope. You're in control of what goes on your plate. And I recommend that you choose accordingly. All right, so let's get to our comments here before we wrap up our show. Laura Harlow says, I look at the news section several times a week. Tammy says, our back porch is our round table talk. Laura Harlow says, amen, we sit and watch movies and stuff will come up. We do have two shows we always watch and we talk about it, we talk it out, our opinions, right on. She says, Laura Harlow also says that it's important to know what's going on around us, but we sure don't need to be absorbed by it. Amen to that. So, you know, before, you know, I've got time. It's my show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to do a public service announcement here because, this is a website that I discovered here, just very recently. I want to share it with you as well. If you want to know where your news lies, I challenge you to go to a website called allsides.com. Again, that is allsides.com. Here's why. So the news headline, what they do is they give you the left, the center, and the right. So right here, the headline group roundup is Supreme Court begins term with new justice. That is the roundup. So the headline on the right says Supreme Court opens historic 2022 term with four women on the bench in Justice Jackson's first term. The Center News reports say U.S. Supreme Court opens new term with fresh face and environmental case. And from the left, Supreme Court welcomes the public again and a new justice. And, of course, these are the Washington Times, Reuters, and Associated Press. So the reason why I'm bringing this to your attention, guys, if you want to see where your bias lies, you know, man, right here it is. You can go to any website or any headline that you can find them, and you can see if you're on the NBC, you can see how NBC frames their headlines, and, of course, all the way to the right, which is Fox News, how they weigh out. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is power. Get out of your think tanks. Get away from these toxic sources where you're always hearing it all the time. I agree with Laura. It's important to know what's going on, but it's also important moderation, because we already know that everything in our lives is too much of anything can be a bad thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in to a show that seeks to not only provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to an inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. A lot of your problems, a lot of your cares, a lot of your concerns right now, they're self-inflicted wounds that you're giving people to fire at you through your social media platforms. Turn them off. Man, you'd be surprised how beautiful life really is when you don't have all that goddamn negativity over your head. So until next time, friends, thank you for your service and your patriotism to this country. It's without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. And as always, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, think a veteran. If you love your peace, think a police officer. And if you see a first responder, man, they still deserve that high five, handshake, and a job well done. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Philip Blackman. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Take care of yourselves, friends. We'll see you on Wednesday. Good night.